Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I'm your host, Belinda Ellsworth, and I have got a great guest in store for you today, Scott Anthony Barlow. He is the founder and CEO of Happen to Your Career. He's been featured on CNBC, Yahoo, Career Builder, Fast Company, and Huffington Post, and various colleges and universities as a top expert on career happiness. He gets way excited about careers, coffee, and parkour, not necessarily in that order. It is my pleasure today to welcome Scott to our show.
Hey, thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
Yeah. So, Scott, let's fill in some of the gaps from that bio and tell us a little bit more about yourself and tell us more about your journey and how you got where you are in this wonderful place of creating happiness in careers.
Yeah. And that is absolutely what we do in our company today. However, it's been a long road. And honestly, the part that my bio doesn't say is it starts way back when in college, because I was one of those people who, quite frankly, had no idea what I wanted to do. So I did end up going to college and went into it not really sure what was going to come out of that. I started with, hey, I want to be in a band. And those, if I'm going to be in a band, that's going to travel too much. So I decided I wanted to be in audio engineering. Then that moved to computer science, and then the next thing and the next thing. And I didn't find anything that I could really sink my teeth into until I somewhat haphazardly took a few business courses and ended up realizing that, hey, this is kind of fun. I could do this. But in order to enter the business program, you had to have an internship in the university that I went to. So I said, hey, I don't really want to like go get coffee and donuts, like the standard type of internship that was available at the time, or I didn't want to work on menial projects. So I ended up looking for something that gave me a bunch of experience, and careful what you wish for, I guess, because I ended up coming home with a small business and in a painting business, actually. And that was a ton of fun, but I ended up, paying for my wife's engagement ring as I went through college, and ended up paying for the rest of my university. And the funny thing was, though, I didn't realize that you could actually, like, I just didn't have anybody around me that owned any kind of businesses or anything else. I didn't realize that was like a viable path for you to go. So I actually ended up selling my business and then went into my first professional job. And my first professional job was horrific. Mostly because it was just massively out of alignment from all the things that I wanted. And I ended up actually, working there for about a year. And every single day of that was just filled with at least half the day filled with dread. And it was just such a mismatch. I ended up gaining about 50 pounds. I ended up, I was commuting 3 hours a day. I moved my brand new bride, Alyssa, to a completely different state and away from her family and everything else. And it got so bad to the point where I was having anxiety attacks driving in the traffic and looking around at everybody else and looking at their faces when we're stopped in traffic and going, oh my goodness, is this what everybody goes through? This is like, how do people do this? So I decided that I had to do something about it after about a year of this. And I went and decided I was going to have a conversation with my boss and told him maybe this isn't the right fit for me. So I was really nervous to have the conversation, ended up doing that, and called him up and said, hey, I think maybe I made a mistake in taking this role, and maybe it's not a perfect fit. And apparently he thought the same way, because 3 weeks later he fired me. And that that was pretty horrible at the time, but quite honestly, it ended up paving the way for everything else to come, because after that happened, after sort of working through some of the shame and embarrassment and guilt of being fired, I realized that I never, ever, 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 ever wanted to do that again in that same way. And I had to learn how to do it differently. And that sent me on about a decade long quest to figure out how to work from your strengths, work from the title of your podcast, work from your happy place, and how to do it on your own terms, as opposed to just whatever you think is available to you, and how to not settle in your life and work. And that single event and the decision that followed that paved the way for taking a lot of what I would have called every single time my dream job, and then ended up quitting all of those and eventually starting this company that we have now, where we now get to help many thousands of people make that same decision. So
perfect.
There's the context.
That's great. So how do you do that? Through like consulting with them or coaching, or do you take them down a journey or a path to find out what their strengths are? What are some of the ways that you assist people in doing that?
Yeah, and that's such a great question for a variety of different reasons, because it's not an easy thing.
Absolutely. I can imagine.
Yeah. When people are trying to answer really complex questions like, hey, what should I be doing if I'm not doing what I want to be now? You know, if not this, then what? And how do I figure it out? And how do I figure out how to work from my happy place? And all of those types of things. You and I both know that those are pretty challenging questions to answer. So after that whole set of events happened and I got fired, I had to very much figure that out for myself. So along the way, over about a 10-year period, I ended up literally creating a process. And that is now what we use within our company. So really what we do, to answer your question directly, is we help guide people through that process and help them decide really where they want to be spending their time, so that they can do work that really fits in alignment with their lives and be more happy more often and leverage their strengths in doing so. And we do that primarily through coaching and programs that we've developed utilizing the process that we've created over the years.
That sounds wonderful. Okay, so how's the business today then? So we know you were miserable. So how is the business today shaped your lifestyle?
Well, it's drastically different than if you would have asked me, hey, would this even be possible for you 10 years ago? So at this point, it's been really interesting, because it's very much been integrated into our lives. My wife is involved with the business, and actually we have several different businesses. But our main one has happened to your career, just like we were talking about here, right? We have also another business on the side, which has very much been a part of our world and wouldn't have been possible without starting this other business. We pull our kids out of school about once a year, give or take, year to 18 months, and we take them and live in another country for 4 to 6 weeks. And we wanted to do that. That was really, really important to us, something that we decided, hey, this is part of our own path to not settling within our life and our work. And this most recent year, back in April, we spent a month in the UK and got to live in London for a while and explore the UK. And quite frankly, that wouldn't have been possible without our current business, and the fact that our team, you know, those coaches that I mentioned and other people that make up our team, are spread all over the world, and we work primarily remotely. So that allows us to have the flexibility as well as the freedom to, you know, pick up the laptop and whatever else, and be able to go take our kids on that type of journey or do whatever else is also incredibly important to us.
Great. How old are your children?
Oh my goodness, you would ask that, huh? I always have to count backwards, because their ages, they keep changing.
They do every year.
Yeah, every year. They're like clockwork. It's craziness. You know, my daughter is going to turn 11 this year. She's 10 right now. And then I have a son who is 9, and I have another son who is 8. They're all 18 months apart right now.
Okay. All right. Boom, so boom, boom. The reason I ask, and here's my question, because in this week alone, I have been asked about this probably 10 different times. So it's been a popular question for me personally. And so obviously it's on people's minds. And I thought you're a good person to ask this to.
Yeah.
So what do you do with your kids in regards to schooling? So how are they when you pick them up and you move to another country or you move to another place to live for 3 or 4 months or however long you're doing that? How are you continuing in their schoolwork?
Oh, my goodness. This is such a great question. We get asked this all the time. We get asked that question. And wait a minute. Hold on. How do you get them out of school for that long? But the short answer is we do a couple different things. First of all, a lot of the schoolwork now is available in one form or another on the internet through different types of web apps. So we can actually continue that. And there's a variety of different tools that our school uses, but many other schools use similar tools or the same type of tools where they may be interacting with it in the classroom on computers and or in computer lab. But we're actually just logging in and doing the web version of that. So that's one way we do that. The other way that we do that is as we're going into the individual year, whatever year it is, we partner with the teachers up front saying, hey, you know, we've got this coming up in this particular year, and we want to be proactive about this, and we want to understand what type of schoolwork they're going to be at during this particular time. And then we continue to have that conversation the whole way. So that way, as we approach it, then they can just send work with us. Or what's happened a lot of the years is the teachers have said, you know what, they're going to learn way more over there by getting those experiences. So instead, why don't they just keep a journal, and you know, that can be part of their schoolwork, and then yeah, come back and they can present that to the class. So we've done that a number of years as well. In fact, so much so that my wife ended up writing a journal, a kids travel journal, that that's another byproduct, I guess, of our business that we probably wouldn't have done if we didn't have that need. So
that's cool.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we've ended up creating a lot of those tools and resources along the way, just out of necessity as well, so that they can get the full experience, but still keep up in the classroom. And now we're really fortunate that Alyssa, my wife, has been a teacher in the past. She used to teach elementary education and a lot of different grades for 8 or 10 years or so before she quit and came home with the kids. But now at this point, she has a bit of that built-in knowledge. So we've been able to leverage that too.
That's great.
But mostly it's just being proactive and partnering with the teachers and determining, hey, how can we make this work? This is something that's important to us. And you know, what can we do while we're over there? And teachers are more than happy to set us up, we found, when we do that proactively.
Very good. That's great. So let's go back to talking about your business. And one of the key questions I like to ask is, I like to break this interview is kind of broken up on like sort of the inspirational pieces and then really actual strategies. So this is kind of one of those strategy questions. And it is, what are a couple of your greatest skill sets that have really helped you in owning and succeeding in your own business?
You know, I was thinking about this earlier for a different reason. Somebody else had asked me something similar. And my first thought was sales and marketing. And sales, partially because those in some way, shape, or form have been used in every business that I have either built or helped people build over the years. And then I started thinking about it more. And I realized, you know what? Sales and marketing are great skills. They're well worth the time and effort to master in one way or another, whether or not you're working with other people that are doing those in your business or whether or not you're doing them yourself, well worth the time and effort. But I think there's been two that have been even more powerful within my business over the years, and that is learning how to learn quickly and effectively. And that a lot of people don't think about that as a skill set. For example, when many people have a tendency to want to learn something, they dive in and they learn everything, or they feel like they need to learn everything, instead of defining what it is specifically that they need to learn and then charting a path out for that learning. And this can be applied to business, or this can be applied to anything. So what would be an example of that? okay, so recently I wanted to learn piano, right? And yep. If you go to a piano teacher, you get the every good boy does fine and you learn all the notes and piano music and everything else, right?
Yep.
Like that's par for the course if you go the traditional learning method for piano. And I realized that I didn't want that. Instead, really what was more interesting to me is I started figuring out, okay, well, why do I want to learn piano? Honestly, I just want to be able to sit down and play 2, 3, 4, 5 songs that I can play so that if I walk into a hotel and, you know, want to be able to sit down at the piano, I can play for, and, you know, do so halfway decently. And if that's my goal, for why I want to do that, that changes how I can learn. And if I know that's my goal, I can actually just focus on how do I pick out those 2, 3, 4, 5 songs. And then I can start figuring out, well, what is the best way to learn that? Could I go sit down with a piano teacher and say, hey, what are the things that are going to cut down on my time to be able to learn just these couple of songs? I don't care about the piano music. Instead, I care about learning these so that I can, you know, sit down at a piano and play, you know, John Legend, you know, one of his songs or something else along those lines. And when you start trying to figure out how to learn more effectively and build that into a skill set and a habit and a routine, starting with defining what it is that you want, that ends up actually changing how you learn everything else and makes everything else much more possible, whether it be that sales or marketing. So that's one. And then the other one is learning how to chart paths to do things that appear impossible. And build out the, you know, point from point A to point Z for things that normally appear impossible or seem impossible in one way or another. And that's been a really, really useful skill set. That's not been something that has been easy to learn, but it's been something that has served me really, really well over the years. And honestly, the first step to that is learning how to think bigger and how to challenge myself to think bigger than what I normally do so that I can recognize where my brain is shutting off those things that feel impossible, if that makes any kind of sense.
Sure, absolutely. It does. Yeah.
Yeah, and you've done some things that are like most people would look at and say, that's not possible for me. So I'm curious about your thoughts on that too. And you know, you've experienced some of those same things. So how do you do that?
Do you know what? Sort of similar. I sort of weed through what I really need to know. And it's really funny. I'm just gonna that you were saying that because I smiled and I made a little notation. So
yeah,
I was a percussionist, so a drummer. So quite a good drummer, actually. And played all through school and then played professionally in bands. But you don't learn a lot of actual music notes. And, you know, piano is considered percussion, but I did very little. I learned just enough to get through my tests to do bells or marimbas or whatever I needed to do. But But I've always wanted to just be able to sit down and play some songs at the piano. And so when I was younger, I kind of would kick around on some of my friends' pianos. We never had a piano in our house. And so we recently just got a keyboard, not a full piano, but like a small cool piano. So for Christmas, my husband just got me basically teach yourself. And it had songs I might want to do, like some simple songs to learn on the piano. And so I'm like, I'm not going to go take piano lessons. I'm not going to go do all that. I'm just going to learn. You know, I'm going to pick out 2 or 3 songs in this book that I really want to learn. So that's really funny because I had the same sort of thought process. I have a tendency, and it's not necessarily the right way to go, but I find a need, kind of like you did with your business. Like, okay, what's a need that nobody else has? And how can I fulfill that? I'm going to sit down and I'm going to figure that out. And I do. And then I end up sort of moving forward with it, and then I have to quickly learn as I go. And I find myself learning exactly what I need. For example, I decided after I had been bugged by about 5 years, like, you really need to design a planner. There is no planner for the direct sales space. And so I said, oh, I don't want to get in the manufacturing part of it. I don't want to do this, you know, blah, 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 blah. And so then all of a sudden, like, I had so many people bugging me about it that I thought, well, what is out there? So I quickly did the research on what is out there. I ordered like 12 planners. It was costly because most of them are around, you know, $40 to $75 a piece. So I ordered all these planners and really looked at them and said, okay, what could make these better? What are the holes? Why are people saying there isn't anything out there? And I was quickly able to see, wow, there really isn't. Or these aren't really thought out of a way a person behaves on a daily basis. Like, yeah. What are the things that you really do? I've been in sales for 40 years. So it's like, if you're really going to do sales, like, what are the things you need to sort of to play the games, to keep yourself active? Like, I know all of that, like little games you have to play with yourself, like little goals yes. and mini things you have to set. And so I said, I'm going to add all of those in. And so then I quickly just sketched it out on paper and literally designed the whole thing in 4 days. And then I had to learn, okay, you know, getting quotes from printers, where to get it manufactured, what are the costs, what are the things to ask for about bindings? Like, I had to learn a lot. And now we've done two, and I wouldn't say I'm perfect in it, but they both turned out pretty good. They both have sold pretty well. I got much better over last year's, this year's was, and I know exactly what I'm going to do to make next year's better. I know that I need to back up my dates because not a single printer ever comes through on the day that they say. I've learned that now after going through several.
Yes.
So like, I have a tendency, and I'm not saying it's the best, but I have a tendency to learn as I go as needed. So I don't limit myself on big ideas of what I know or don't know. I just think of an idea of where is a need, where is a pocket that there is something missing that people would want. And then, okay, I've identified it. Now I have to learn it in a real quick way. And that's not good for everybody, but it's caused me to do it on things I might not ever have done. So anyway, it's similar to the way you do it.
I think that there is a lot to that. And I think that there's a lot buried in what you say, too. I mean, I think everybody listening to that probably understands the surface level. But I do think that there's even more to it as well. I think that, like, as I think about literally everything that we've accomplished in some way, even even some of the programs we've created and everything like that, we release them initially in a way that, as I think about it now, makes me cringe. And even though they helped a lot of people, they weren't up to what I would consider my standard, some of them, when we first released them to the world. And since then, we've gone back and redone them multiple times over. But honestly, we wouldn't have had the feedback
yep.
to know how to develop those and make some of those world class without having people go through them first and releasing it in a way that makes me cringe, and doing exactly what you said in terms of learning each little piece along the way, and then figuring out how do I do so in a faster, efficient method in order to be able to get it out to the world in that first way, whatever it is, whatever that need is that you're going after. One recent one that we did in the last year or so was we developed a program for career coaches and people that want to become career coaches, and taking them all the way from how to coach to how to get started in their coaching business and develop their first clients. And that was an intense program. It's a 6-month long program. We've never done anything like that before to that scale. And it was the exact same process. We had to go and we had to figure out how to build this gigantic 6-month long program in a way that was not perfect, in a way that was intentionally imperfect. And even though that makes me feel uncomfortable, like, that is the way those things get put out into the world. There are zero companies that put out the perfect product the first time. I cannot think of any examples, unless it's by accident.
Absolutely. And you know what? One of the things I do know is that fear paralyzes people. And one of the things that really sabotages your success is procrastination. And yeah. I have never identified myself as a procrastinator. I'm a doer. I'm a very much a doer. However, when I was doing the research on that and realizing that a big challenge that a lot of highly productive people have is perfectionism. Yeah. And so when you look at those two things, the perfectionism causes procrastination. because you wait until it's perfect before you ever pull the trigger, right? Before you ever say, okay, I'm just going to dive into this and produce this. And then you're right. I got so much feedback on our planner from last year that I think this year is nearly, I think it's nearly perfect. Like, I'm super excited about it. But now that I look at it, there was one person said, you know, you can't do every wish. I wish it had. But one person said something and I was like, oh, you know what? She's spot on with that. It's like one tiny detail. And but if I sat and waited, if I would have waited, actually, I did wait. You know, I had someone else talking to me about a planner. So this was like a 5-year thinking process, not a 5-year doing process, a 5-year thinking process of people bugging me about it. And then me talking to somebody and they're like, well, you need this and you have to have this and you have to have that. And it was so overwhelming that I said, OK, forget it. Like, this is clearly out of my wheelhouse, right? And then it was last year, my whole company was getting ready to go on break because I give them like 10 days off for Christmas because I just want everybody to just get a break from it. I want a break from it. I don't want to feel guilty of not showing up myself. So I just give the whole staff the whole time off. So we were getting ready to close and it just hit me. This is ridiculous. And so I said to the one girl, okay, we've got like 3 days like before we go on break. Let's do this thing. And I literally, you know, I'm not super technical savvy. And I turned it over to a graphic artist after that. But I said, just get me a binder and just put pages in it. And I'm going to sketch it out in pencil and erase as I go and sort of get this figured out. And literally, and people would go, that is crazy. But that is how I designed that planner with this girl who worked in my office, who's, we're all getting ready to go on break. And literally sketched out like, you know, 88 pages in pencil in a binder and then scanned it all to my graphic artist. And that is how we ended up with that planner. And I just finally said, this is ridiculous. Like, so we can just jump in and do. And that caused me to get the product that I had. Or you can sit and wait for everything to be perfect. And 5 years later, you have nothing. And that's the reality of it. And if people would just learn, you know, you just jump in, you will learn as you go and you will get advice as you go. And you're right. The first one, I've redone my main set of CDs. I've redone those now. I mean, the first set I released was in cassette tapes, if that gives you any indication. And we've redone them along the ways and we've improved them and we've went with new strategies. And, you know, for me, because I've always edited them, it's really funny because, and my husband is a recording engineer, and he's done all of them with me. And it's so funny because I barely have any pages of edits. Where in the beginning, there were pages and pages of edits. So I've improved not only in my content, but I've improved in my delivery. I've improved with my speech patterns. I've improved where I'm not doing little ticks so much. In fact, hardly ever. And that took practice.
That's that is so compelling, though. And I think that you don't get, one does not happen without the other. You don't get to the point where you can do things more effectively, like you're talking about with that example, without making all the mistakes first and without that practice, intentional or unintentional, one way or another. It's got to be some type of practice. You have to go through and make some of those mistakes first. And in order to earn the right to be able to do what comes next and what comes after that.
Absolutely. This has been so delightful. I know I've skipped over a few of our questions, but I don't want to leave this one out. I was going to. It's generally a typically, you know, it's the signature piece of this show. And that's why I don't want to leave it out because it is also what you do. So I definitely want to ask, what does working from your happy place mean to you?
For me, it means a well, for me, let's be honest, it dredges up a whole series of emotions and everything from the past, you know, different types of events ranging from when I got fired, like we were talking about earlier, to many other things. But aside from that, really what it means is being able to work in a way that is truly and authentically you. And it doesn't mean that every single day is easy. In fact, the opposite. It often means that you are continuously challenged, but challenged in ways that really leverage what we call your signature strengths and those things that you are great at or have the potential to be great at, and utilizing your gifts and being able to work in the way that you want, in the way that allows you to contribute most to the world and to other people. And we find that when people are doing more of that, that they are more happy more often. I say more happy more often because happiness is not a destination. You don't like reach it and permanently become happy or anything else along those lines. Instead, putting yourself in an environment and a state that allows you to reach that happiness on a more frequent basis or be much more in alignment with really what you want out of life. And that's really what that is. So for me, that very much means, because I had to identify what this means for myself, which is going to be different than the next person. But for me, this means being able to have a lot of variety and an ever-changing role where I have that high input of learning, and I get the ability to impact people and have that feedback directly. And it means being able to work with, well, right now it means, being able to work with my team and develop them and be able to pass on a lot of the things that I've learned over the years. And it means being able to work at the time and place that I want to on the things that I get excited about.
That's great.
Yeah, that's it.
And you know what's, I loved the one thing you said is that it's challenging and it's not always happy every day. And when I ask this and when people come to me with different things, they confuse having fun with being happy. And I understand where their confusion lies, but I have people saying to me, I will do this as long as it's fun. And when it's not fun anymore, I'm not doing it anymore, or it'll be time to move on. And I'm thinking, well, there are days where things that are challenging. I love what I do. And I do believe that I work from my happy place. Now, there are parts of it that then I go, I'm not loving this part of it. So I'm going to replace this with another piece, or I'm going to shift where I spend my time because this isn't serving me well. But there are days where it isn't fun at all. There are challenges, like with this planner. Am I going to say I'm not doing a planner again because I had so many challenges? It's like, no, because it's worth it, but I got to work through it. Because at the end of the day, when people say this, I made more money this year because of this. This kept me on track all year long. This has been the most amazing tool I've ever had. Well, then that makes you happy because you feel your work is fulfilling. But when people were, you know, people send the most horrible, terrible messages now on social media and emails because they can, because they would never say that to a person's face. And we had to deal with all of that because we were late. It was behind. It didn't get shipped when it said. I mean, like, holy cow, it was a ton of stuff. But if I said, I'm not dealing with that because this isn't any fun, well, then I'd miss out and a whole lot of other people would miss out on a really great tool that, and at the end of the day, makes me very happy that we're able to provide that for people. So you just have to push through because there are going to be challenges. There are going to be days that aren't any fun. There are going to be days that you think, wow, am I doing the right thing? And then you do have to analyze that. And then most of the time you're like, yeah, I am. If you have found what you love, what you do. So I hear that one statement so often. I'll do this as long as it's fun. When it's not fun anymore, I'm just not going to do it. I'm thinking, wow, what level of commitment is in there?
But well, that's where the good stuff happens. And a lot of people don't realize that, though. And we have, unfortunately, if you look on the internet and you look up things like the word passion, which is a word that gets tossed around a lot in the last 15 years in particular, more and more. And passion gets confused with like feeling passion and feeling happiness about something all of the time. And that's not how it works in reality. And the other thing that, unless you are really, really into the research and understand, you know, some of the emotional ups and downs and roller coasters and everything that goes along with human growth, then you don't realize that on an overall scale, if we are missing those growth opportunities like you're talking about, which is often where it is less fun or it becomes a challenge or it becomes not easy anymore. If we don't have that, then we get bored as human beings. And when we get bored, we start to live in toleration a lot of the time. And we can be content with that for a period of time, but then we start to stagnate. And if we're not if we're not growing, then we are moving towards that area of toleration or stagnation. And what we learn is that as human beings, we need to have those periods of growth in order to feel more happy more often. So the ironic element that most people miss is that in order to be more happy more often, you have to have those uncomfortable periods and you have to have those periods of growth as well. So it's counterintuitive.
Absolutely. So what advice would you give to those listening out there that are saying, okay, I want to do this. You know, I want to be an entrepreneur. I want to find my happy place. So what advice would you give to them?
I think the biggest thing that is more powerful than anything else that sustains you through those hard periods, because if you are, regardless of whether you identify with the word entrepreneur or you want to, you know, be a solopreneur, or like, it doesn't even matter what label you want to put on it. But I think to sustain yourself through the ups and the downs and those types of challenges and have those be productive growth for you and to be something that eventually it becomes exciting for you, then you have to have a very clear understanding of what you want and why you want it. Without that, one, it's going to be difficult to get to go where you want to go if you don't know where you're going. But then two, if you don't have that understanding then and attachment for the reason you want to go there, then it's difficult to feel any kind of sense of purpose or fulfillment that goes along with it. So the biggest advice I would give is get very, very clear on what you want and why you want out of your life. And I'm not just talking about everything that you want. I'm talking about what is actually truly most important to you. And make sure that your life and your work are intertwined to support those things that you want. And you know, I guess we started talking about this earlier. These are hard questions to answer. Very often you have to break them down into smaller chunks to be able to answer them. So we actually have a whole bunch of questions to be able to break those down too. If you want to go to figureitout.co, that's figureitout.co, that breaks it down into 8 days of exercises to begin answering that type of question and understanding what do you want? What do you want most? But that would absolutely be the biggest advice that I would give.
And that was figureitout.co.
You got it.
Okay. So in closing, Scott, tell us about some exciting things that you're working on, and then how can our listeners connect with you?
Oh, you know, we always have multiple projects going on our team right now. We've had, well, much like, you know, people had been asking you for the planner, we had been getting asked for many, many years about, hey, I want to do what you do and I want to build the type of business that you have around coaching or around career coaching. You know, do you offer any type of training for that? And we didn't for many, many years. So we've actually spent the last year and a half building out an entire suite of resources to support people that want to move into a coaching business type route or a career coaching business type route. And that's been a ton of fun for us. It's been really challenging. We've experienced a lot of growth. And at the same time, it's been really rewarding because there's been a lot of people that have been asking us for that for those years. And we've ignored it for so many years. So that's been a ton of fun. And then there's a couple of ways you could connect with us. One is happentoyourcareer.com. That's HAPPEN to yourcareer.com. And that's our home base that has everything that we do. And there's so many different types of resources, as well as our podcast, which if you're listening to this now, you probably like podcasts and you can search Happen to Your Career on any podcast player and we will pop right up. And that's another great way to learn about what we do and how we do it and how we guide other people to from where they're at to work that they really want to be doing in their career and their life.
Fantastic. Well, Scott, it has been absolutely delightful having you on the show, and we've really delved into some really great stuff today. And I know our listeners are going to take really great value. So thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. This has been fun. I appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.